we wrestle the demon Pazuzu in The Exorcist.
Your mother is in here, Karis. Would you like to leave a message? I'll see that she gets it.
We hooked the fisherman killer Ben Willis, and I know what you did last summer.
Oh, you got a letter? I got run over, Helen gets her hair chopped off, Julie gets a body in her trunk, and you get a letter. That's balanced.
We survived a summer away with the Angel of Death, Angela Baker, in sleepaway camp.
Look what I did. I packed you and your cousin some goodies for the ride up to camp. Wasn't that nice of me,
But we ain't seen nothing yet. Join Alex and Dean of the Return Revenge Resurrection podcast as we go toe-to-toe with the ever-resourceful Michael Myers.
I shot him 6 times.
Be there as we discuss the Halloween franchise in its entirety, from John Carpenter's beloved 1978 classic through David Gordon Green's epic forthcoming finale.
I shot him in the heart.
We cover it all. The good, the bad, and the bloody. Return Revenge Resurrection. A podcast that slashes its way through horror movie franchises.
You don't know what death is.
New episodes every Thursday, available wherever podcasts are found.
I told everyone!
The Blast from Our Past Network.
Hello, welcome back to Action Action, the podcast that watches all the fucking action movies. We put them on a giant list. We're ranking these things one by one. I am Dustin, and I am joined today, as always, by my co-host, James.
You feeling lucky?
Yeah, kind of.
Me too, I guess.
Sweet.
Sweet, dog.
We're on the BFOP network. Be sure you go on, check out the other shows on there. There's a lot of great content happening. Check out Return, Revenge, Resurrection. We got, they just, you know, you just heard them as guests on a recent episode of ours. We got Podcasting After Dark. There's a new show coming, Podcasting After Dark, combining with $2 late fee to do 80s Kids Unite is a new show coming. I'm not sure if that's going to be on our network, but either way, that's going to be something to check out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, check out Talking Back, all the rest. So lots of stuff on there to check out. Really good stuff. Meanwhile, we are sitting here like a couple of assholes.
Yep.
We got a check. We got a Seagal show for you. Special Seagal show. We haven't done one in a little while.
Fucking Seagal.
He's back. He's back, baby. But James, tell me what you've been watching. Let's do a little sink or swim.
All right. Well, I watched a little flick. A well-known Jackie Chan movie.
Oh, yeah.
Called Around the World in 80 Days.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that thing. It's got, it doesn't have Arnold Schwarzenegger show up in that movie?
He does.
Yeah.
Watch it with the kids. A bit long. They could have gone around the world in 40 days, maybe.
80 minutes.
Yeah. You know, it's a fun enough movie. There's some great stunt work. Yeah. In it.
It's not really like a full-blown kung fu movie, though.
No,
right?
It's more
like an adventure kind of.
No, there's one spot that I remember from like when the movie came out that I had to rewind and show my kids a couple times, where it's like this granny climbs over a wall and just completely face plants onto the concrete. And obviously, it's a stunt person.
Right.
And it definitely would have hurt the stunt person.
Damn.
But it's one of those things that sticks with you, right?
You're like rewind and play. Rewind,
like the time you see your dad's penis for the first time.
Holy Christ.
Right? We all know that. Anyway, yeah, so I recommend it. Not your dad's penis, but
you know, Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jackie Chan anytime.
Yeah.
Good time.
What about the tuxedo, though? Did you ever see that one?
Is that the one where, like, he puts the tuxedo on and he can do martial arts?
Yeah, it, like, gives him, like, special abilities and stuff. It makes him, like, superhuman in a way.
Right.
And he's a spy or something.
Okay,
like that.
Very similar to, is it I Spy or Spy? I think it's just Spy, maybe.
There's Spy with Melissa McCarthy, and there's
not that one.
I Spy was like Owen Wilson and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, 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 that one.
It was like based on an old TV show.
They kind of came out around the same time, I think. I'm an idiot, so it doesn't really matter. and then I watched a little movie. You might have heard of it.
Mm.
Called Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, man.
And
never heard of that one. What's that one about?
Fuck yeah. Just so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Can't go wrong with that.
Mm. No.
Always a tasty treat. Did you make your kids watch that?
Yeah, they weren't interested.
Ugh.
You know, they're interested in all these fucking YouTube
shit. Tell them
to
get out of your house.
I'm thinking of getting rid of the internet in my house.
No YouTube.
But that's just going to punish myself.
Right.
So...
It's a hard one.
I don't know. You know, I'm thinking about just getting rid of all streaming services and like everything.
Let's get a VCR.
You know what? Fuck yeah. Get a VCR.
Start a collection.
The kids will have to watch like rated R movies that I have on VCR.
Whatever you got. Does John still have all those VHS tapes?
Yeah, John has all of them still. So
nice.
Yeah. Anyways, parenting tips. That's about it. I mean, I did watch True Detective, so I'm caught up with that. And Monsieur Spade. Apparently, there's only one episode left in each show.
Oh, I knew that about True Detective. I didn't realize that was the case for Monsieur Spade as well.
Well, this is what John tells me.
Damn, so, it's a short season.
He's the fucking TV guy.
He is the TV guru, that guy.
Fucking loser. So, yeah, I mean, I'm liking both.
For me, the last episode of True Detective maybe went off the rails a little bit.
True Detective is a weird one.
Yeah. It's a little all over the place. There's stuff I really like, for sure. But there's other things that I'm not so sure of. So I guess we'll see how it wraps up and if it's able to pull it all together.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, other than that, you know, pitchers and catchers have to... report today, the day we're recording. So excited. Baseball right around the corner
already.
Can't wait,
man. All right, well, we'll be talking about baseball soon, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
All right, well, I watched of course a handful of things as usual. Did a double feature of original Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those I've seen, of course, before, but been a little while since I watched the original Blade Runner. Have you seen the original one?
Yeah.
Man, it is the best fucking looking movie ever. Like, it looks so goddamn good. I mean, obviously with like a Blu-ray with those pixels compared to how watching it on VHS as a kid or whatever, but it's just beautiful. And like, they built those whole sets of streets of that like
mm-hmm.
weird sort of almost Tokyo type look that Ridley Scott was going for. I really enjoy that movie. I watched the final cut because there's like, you know, 3, 4, 5 cuts of that movie. The theatrical one is, of course, the controversial one where they did a bunch of voice. The studio made them put a bunch of voiceover in and all this kind of crap. I'm not even sure if I've ever seen that. Well, I probably must have seen that. Must have been the first version I saw. But then I watched Blade Runner 2049 again, which I hadn't seen since theaters. Also really good. Holds up really well. Also very beautiful, but actually still didn't look as good to me as the 80s Blade Runner, even though, you know, it's all these years have gone by, so much advancements in technology.
So what do you think it is?
Well, because it's not practical, right? Like, they actually built those fucking sets, and it just you can't quite do that with effects. They look great. Like, this, don't get me wrong, Blade Runner 2049 looks phenomenal. It looks, you know, as good as a modern movie can look, but mm-hmm. I still prefer the look of the old one, I think. But still a very good movie, of course.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about a movie set that feels lived in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these, like, shows and stuff, and, like, you get it with, like, the Star Wars shows, like Mandalorian, but also, like, Peter Jackson, the show on Disney. It was the same kind of thing. They use that, whatever the fuck that,
right,
that room is, or wall.
That's as immersive as you can get for that stuff, but it's still not the same, right?
It's still not the same. So
there's no weight to things because they're not there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of like, yeah, fucking studios.
I mean, it's the way it is. It's what we're living with. But yeah, I still really enjoyed Blade Runner 2049. It's like almost 3 hours long, so it's not, I know that's not your your kind of thing. But
I did watch it.
Yeah. Did you like it back when you saw it?
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
But I think I need to watch Blade Runner
the original one again, yeah. It actually did help to watch them close together because of all the different little layers of things going on. But then I watched the Iron Claw, the wrestling film from A24, Zac Efron.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch that.
It's got, what's his name there? Jeremy Allen White from The Bear is in it.
I didn't realize it was out.
Yeah, you can pay for it now on digital. Harris Dickinson, Holt McElhaney from Mindhunter is the dad, Fritz Von Erich in this. It's about the Von Erich family, the real family of wrestlers in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this tragic story about these brothers who, their dad was a wrestler. He raised them all to be wrestlers. He ran a promotion in Texas. It was pretty popular, and they were very popular for a while there, but it's just family tragedy where kind of one after another they start dying.
Did they kill themselves, all of them?
Some of them did, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, really,
I think I watched the Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah, they did a Dark Side of the Ring about it. That's right. Yeah, it was a really well done movie. The period details were great. Like the wrestling stuff all felt really good. And of course, various characters come in that are other wrestlers that you might recognize if you're a fan. The guy that played Ric Flair was not good. I don't know why they went with this guy. He didn't really pull it off, but everybody else did a good job of playing the different various
characters. How was MJF?
His part was like super cut out of the movie. So he just has like a moment where you see him in the ring wrestling somebody. And that's it. Kind of.
That's it.
Yeah. He had a whole part that was cut out of the movie. It's already like over 2 hours. So I think they were like, we got to trim some stuff out of this, but Zac Efron is really good in it. I don't know if I've ever seen anything where I was like, yeah, he's really good, but he did a really good job in this. So definitely recommend. I mean, it's a biopic, so you still have some of that, I don't know, biopic-ness that isn't the best always, but it's good. It's really good. Rewatched Three Kings. Haven't seen Three Kings in a long time.
Fuck, I haven't seen that in forever.
George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube, Spike Jonze.
It's all about the Benjamins.
yeah, what a fun fucking movie. I mean, it really kind of does it all. It's got a sad and like human story that it's telling.
Yeah.
It's funny as hell. It's shot really creatively and it's got like a ton of verve and energy to it. The action is exciting in it. So it's like hitting on all cylinders. I really enjoyed rewatching that. So say what you will about David O. Russell, the director. I know he's a renowned prick, but he always seems to get results. And I don't know. I just had a really good time watching that. Spike Jonze is fucking hilarious in that movie, and I kind of forgot about that. And I watched 90s thriller Extreme Measures with Hugh Grant and Gene Hackman. This is a medical thriller.
Never heard of it.
I never saw this, but I remember it when it came out. It's kind of like if anyone has seen Coma with Michael Douglas. That was the 70s version of this. Hugh Grant is a doctor. He has a weird thing where these patients come into the ER and he can't figure out what's wrong with them. And then one of them dies and he's still trying to kind of figure it out. And then the body disappears and he sort of uncovers this weird conspiracy going on, medical conspiracy that's happening, shady doctors and blah, blah, blah. So, it's all right. It has a good cast. Sarah Jessica Parker's in it. David Morse. I always like him. Bill Nunn, bunch of people, but, it's just okay. It's definitely watchable. I guess you know, like we say, a cable movie, but it's not something to like go out of your way to right. see. Last I'll mention, I did a sort of a weird double feature, a rape revenge double feature. One movie was Act of Vengeance, also known as Rape Squad, from 1974.
What a title, Rape Squad.
Yeah. So it's about these women who are all raped by the same guy who wears a goalie mask, actually, like kind of like Jason, but this before Jason stuff. He's really creepy and like says all this weird shit to them. And he goes and the movie like has stuff from his perspective later where he like follows them around afterwards and takes notes about them and all this shit. And like leaves tapes. He records himself talking about them. It's kind of creepy. So we're seeing it from like his perspective sometimes, which is really weird.
I think that's what was missing in cinema.
Yeah. Well, it is creepy. It adds a creep factor. The women, they kind of all get together because the cops are no help.
Right.
They actually have this scene that's pretty powerful of the main girl, Joanne Harris, getting interviewed by the male cop and like, he's super insensitive and he's asking all these stupid questions and, you know, the classic, is that what you were wearing? That kind of stuff.
Oh, brutal.
So she gets like super righteously pissed off. Mm-hmm. And then she ends up meeting the other women because they're brought in for a lineup thing to try to identify the guy. And they decide to form the Rape Squad, which is they meet this woman who's teaching like martial arts self-defense stuff. And then they go around and they kind of like confront would-be rapists and like beat them up and shit and like trash their houses and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then they end up getting into a confrontation again with their rapist who is still following them. And he decides he wants to try to have all five of them at once. And so there's a big kind of final confrontation with him. It's actually pretty good and surprisingly progressive outlook.
Hmm. Nice.
You know, unfortunately, sadly, a lot of the same issues are still stuff that get brought up now when it comes to rape. The second half of this double feature was Lipstick, which was an actual studio movie, not so much an exploitation movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Margot Hemingway and her little sister Muriel Hemingway. Chris Sarandon is the rapist in this, and he is such a fucking piece of shit that you're just like, oh, like I want to see this guy fucking die.
Right.
This is really well made. The revenge does not come until like the end of the movie basically, but it's pretty gratifying when it comes. But it's a more brutal movie, a little bit more serious take on the whole thing. She's forced to go through the trial and, you know, get cross-examined and made to look like a, you know, some kind of whore or something and all this shit and stuff. It's a frustrating watch, but it's well done for sure. And yes, it's nice to watch that revenge. Actually, there is one more movie I watched. I watched Valentine, the 2001 slasher movie where a guy dressed with a cupid mask kills people with a bow and arrow and stuff.
Okay.
I saw this back when it came out. I thought it sucked at the time. I was like, maybe time will have done this some favors and I'll be like a little bit nicer to this watching it again. It was just Valentine's yesterday while we were recording this. No, this movie fucking sucks. It's so shitty. Denise Richards is in it. Marley Shelton, what's her face? Catherine Heigl's in this, and David Boreanaz and stuff.
Can't say I've seen it.
No, you don't need to. The kills are all pretty lame, pretty sanitized. This was that period of post-Scream kind of slashers. Right. A lot of pretty people, really shitty characters in this. You couldn't really give a fuck. And, you know, some slashers, you're like, oh, these guys are assholes. I can't wait to see them get killed by the slasher killer. But this one is just like, it just sucks. So
yeah,
Valentine, not a fan. But so that's a sink, but let's talk about a classic movie instead of Valentine, a banger sure through and through. Maybe is it,
I don't know.
We're going to talk about The Glimmer Man, the Steven Seagal movie from 1996. Roll that trailer.
To those he pursued, he was known only as the Glimmer Man. They'd see nothing but shadows. Then a glimmer. Then he's always followed his own path and worked alone. Until now.
Mr. Lovebeads, you're going to have to seek higher enlightenment somewhere else.
They don't see eye to eye.
This guy's weird. Drop the gun. I can't fight. This is not the time I want to hear that.
I got soul! For a minute there, I forgot you told me you can't fight.
It's against my religion, I'm a Buddhist.
And I'm super bad.
And they use different methods.
Once in a while, you should cry because, like, it cleanses his soul.
If I need a cleansing, I have a bran muffin.
But on this case,
I pray that we hurry up and find this killer so I don't have to be with your crazy ass much longer.
Opposites do attract.
He's a little country. I'm a little bit rock and roll.
Why don't we just get you some red boots and a cape and you can fly around the city and stop all the crime?
Take your little sensitive ponytail and your little sissy beads and get out of here.
Warner Brothers presents Steven Seagal.
I have something that will completely clear up that bruise on your forehead.
What bruise?
That bruise.
Keenan Ivory Wayans. Do you know I'm black?
You learn well, grasshopper.
The Glimmer Man.
All right, so The Glimmer Man, 1996, directed by John Gray, starring Steven Seagal, Keenan Ivory Wayans, Bob Gunton, Brian Cox, Michelle Johnson, Stephen Tobolowsky, Richard Gant is in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people in it.
Yeah, some not a bad cast at all. Let me read the synopsis. Oh, here's the tagline. Two good cops, one bad situation. Man, that is generic.
That is... Wow.
Synopsis. A former government operative renowned for his stealth, Jack Cole is now a Los Angeles police detective. When a series of horrible murders occurs in the metro area, Cole is assigned to the case along with tough-talking fellow cop Jim Campbell. Although the two men clash, they gradually become effective partners as they uncover a conspiracy linked to the killings, which also involves terrorism and organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a convoluted... A plot we got here.
So this is 96. So this is 1 year after Under Siege 2, same year as Executive Decision, where he dies within.
Oh, yeah. And didn't On Deadly Ground come out 96 as well? That's a lot. That's a busy year.
94.
For that. Oh, okay. That was earlier. Oh, right. That was between Under Siege and Under Siege 2.
And then in 97. Is Fire Down Below.
Fire Down Below, which I remember going to see in the movie theater.
Sweet. Like, there's a few of these, like, I never, like, Fire Down Below, never seen.
The, oh, you will, James.
The Patriot, never seen.
Patriot, I think, is, like, the first straight-to-video one, maybe, that he did. And it's, like, not an action movie. It's, like, an environmental drama movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I've never seen this movie.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering if you had watched this before.
No, never.
I saw this on video. I remember renting it when it came out on VHS. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think I thought that it sucked necessarily as a kid, like as a teenager. I was like, oh yeah, you know, it's got Seagal doing his thing and kicking some ass and whatever.
I like how we're kind of like, we've done all the movies earlier than this.
Well, except for Hard to Kill, we still haven't done Hard to Kill, which is the blood bank one.
We haven't done Hard to Kill?
No, we haven't. Well,
are you fucking kidding me?
I thought about picking it, and I thought, well, let's save one of the classic eras. And
We'll
do some Glimmer Man.
I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator. The blood bank.
That's right.
Fuck yeah.
Unfortunately, no one-liners as good as that in this film. In fact, the one-liners in this film are... pretty brutal through and through.
You know, I thought, like, okay, I should write down a few, but then I just am like, there's so many.
So many classics?
Like, I don't know. You tell me what's a classic.
Oh, man. I mean, how about when they get confronted by some Russian mafia guys and Seagal says that he's a little bit country and I'm a little bit rock and roll? Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. I told you to give me your best shot.
That's all you got?
I don't think you're going to be waking up happy.
Yeah. Not memorable. I mean, the script is a mess in this movie. And I understand that they apparently cut some scenes out of this movie that kind of, you know, had a little bit more character.
That filled in the gap?
Filled in some of the gaps. Well, because the way this movie starts... you're just thrown right into things immediately. Keenan Ivory Wayans is coming into the office. He goes to his door and he comes in and Seagal's sitting there and he's like, yeah, I've been assigned to this case. Like, oh, okay, cool. And then they're just partners, and the movie starts, and they're investigating these serial killings.
Yes, there is a lot of jumping around.
There's no setup whatsoever about them as characters. And, I mean, I guess you can argue, do you need it? But, like, Keenan Ivory Wayans, like, who the fuck is... Like, we know nothing about him other than he makes really bad jokes, like, constantly. There's not much there going on. Usually in a movie like this, we have some sort of introductory scene. You can do an introductory action scene where they take someone down, blah, 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 and that's kind of how you get to meet your buddy cops.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, I just... It is weird. I did find it extremely weird how much it jumped all over the place. And it's like, okay, so they're partners. And then I hated all the scenes in the car where it's like, okay, this is where we're going to fill in all of their backstory.
Right.
Yeah. So you married? Man, don't ask me that. So you married? Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Oh, he says about, no, because every cop I know that's married has got a dog that doesn't listen to him and kids that don't respect him and, you know, all this shit.
Yeah. And then, like, I hated.
That was, you just hit too close to home, didn't it, James?
Dustin, you know me so well. I just hated the backstory of that he cries to Casablanca.
Yeah, oh, like, right.
It's so bad. Or they go to the like Chinese medicine and he gets like,
oh my god, the deer penis.
Yeah, like deer. They keep bringing elk penis or whatever. It's just like, and then he has a case of it. Like, I just don't find it. Like, these are like.
But it almost goes around to being funny again because of how bad it is. Like,
okay, have you ever seen the movie Grown Ups?
I have not, actually. Okay,
it reminds me of like Grown Ups jokes.
That kind of jokes, yeah.
Like, it's just...
homophobic jokes and like bro kind of jokes and just like, oh, you like that deer penis, eh?
Like, shut up, man!
I mean, I think I did maybe blurt out a laugh when he goes to interview that one woman who calls them about knowing who the artist is that's doing these serial killing paintings. And she's like, oh, he's like, oh, I'm allergic to the incense on your desk. And she's like, oh, can I do anything? He's like, no, it's okay. I'm going to go suck on some deer penis after this. I kind of laughed just because I was like, Jesus, like it's so dumb. And I feel really bad for Keenan Ivory Wayans because he's a funny guy and he's made funny movies.
Yeah.
But like the writing in this is so brutal.
The writing is so bad. Like
and it's a mess too. So like, okay, so we're thrown into this thing. They're investigating these serial killings from a guy they call the Family Man, who is murdering families, and he leaves like these drawings, like childlike drawings of families on the walls. And
I like,
there's a bunch of religious iconography too.
I like all this where they crucify them and then they have these thorns. Yeah, they
crucify the victims. Like, that would have been more interesting to just go down that path of being after the serial killer. But then like, then there's nobody for Seagal to beat up in the movie, right? So you got to bring in this Russian mob stuff and this terrorist arms dealing stuff and all this.
Yeah, I wonder what Putin thinks of that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Like, now he's buddies with with all these Russians. In this movie, he's staunchly against them. But he knows Russians. Like, he knows a dead corpse is a woman from Georgia when he sees one.
Okay.
That scene is amazing. Okay. It's amazing.
That scene, as soon as I walk in the room and the breasts are exposed, I'm like, he's going to sexually assault a corpse, right? Because of course he is.
Yeah, of course.
Of course he is. I think...
I mean, like, okay, so the medical examiner has looked at the body already.
Yeah.
The coroner, whatever. And he's like, let me have a knife. And he's like, what do you notice about this woman? And Keenan, everyone's like, I don't know, this, that, whatever. And he's like, you know, she has nice tits. And he's like, a little too nice.
Okay.
And he slices the tit open and pulls out a silicone implant. I know. Like, the coroner hasn't noticed that she has implants.
Check the numbers.
Check these numbers.
Okay. Let's go down it a little further, okay? So you know all those movies like Scary Movie or Disaster Movie or whatever.
Like spoofs, yeah.
Yeah, spoofs. Okay. You could, like, this is straight out of a spoof movie.
It really
because
is.
What would have happened in a spoof movie is he's like, yes, something's up. And then it's just a shot of the tits, his hands, and he's doing all these things and like milk squirts out.
Right.
And like.
Honk.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's.
One of them deflates.
Yeah. One of them deflates. Yeah. It's just like. It's so bad.
Jesus, it's so. But he's like, before that, he's like, oh yeah, I'd say she's Russian, cheekbones, you know, brow, blah, blah, blah. And in fact, I'd say she's from she's Georgian, like she's from Georgia. It's like, geez, like how the fuck would you be able to tell that? It's so ridiculous. But he's an expert on all cultures, like Seagal, you know, Russia, Tibet. He's really into Tibetan prayer beads in this movie. And
oh yeah.
He's like,
did you like that
when
he's doing the polygraph test and she says, answer yes to both these questions. You know, is your name, whatever, Jack Cole? Yes. Have you climbed Mount Everest? Yes. And she's like, what?
Well, I think we're supposed to think like, okay, one thing is that we know he can beat the machine because he's in total control of his emotions. which she's never seen anything like that. Well, people fucking beat polygraphs like all the time, but
you know.
But
okay.
Also, we're supposed to think like this guy's such a badass. He has, in fact, climbed Mount Everest.
Yeah, I know exactly. I wish polygraphs in movies are just used as a trope, and that cops don't actually think they can use them in real life. Because they don't work.
I know, but still at this point in 96, people watching movies are like, oh yeah, polygraph. Okay, cool.
Polygraph, yeah.
Got it.
Totally.
Can't beat that.
Definitely can't beat that.
Amazing.
I also like the explanation when, what's his name, is telling the story about Glimmer Man.
Oh yeah. Brian Cox. Succession's Brian Cox is in this fine film.
Yeah. Where he says, sufficient to say, to the people he hunted for us, he was known as the Glimmer Man. There'd be nothing but jungle, then a glimmer, then you're dead.
Right. So they knew he was called the Glimmer Man?
Exactly. So who the fuck, like somebody must have survived to been like there was a glimmer and then people were dead.
I mean, again, we have a Seagal movie where his backstory is that he was a CIA fucking assassin, spook, whatever.
Well, that's just pulling from real life, though, Dustin.
I know, exactly. That's exactly what he wants you to believe.
Yeah, well.
If you tell people over and over again movie, they'll be like, oh, yeah, this guy was CIA, man. He was a fucking deep operative.
He was CIA. He's a sheriff in, you know, Louisiana.
He's done it all. He's a chef on a boat.
He's a chef on a boat and a train.
And a train too, yeah. Let's not forget.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it. So this movie is so ridiculous, and then when you finally get to the action, like the fighting, so I think that first fight scene is the Russians, is it not?
Yeah, like out on the in the
parking.
Yeah, in the parking.
Yeah, and I love how he's like, "Yeah, I can't fight. It's against my religion."
Against my religion, yeah.
Right. So then I'm like, "Oh, okay, this is gonna be a funny thing where he's just gonna stand by,
watch Keenan Ivory Wayans get his ass kicked,
and people are gonna." And I thought, okay, these guys are gonna come at him, and he's just gonna barely do anything and just push them aside, not do anything. No, he just full on goes into. Like
he slashes,
breaking
he
limbs.
He starts out by slashing a few of their throats with a credit card that he has that has a blade in it.
I know.
I'm surprised you didn't say something like, don't leave home without it or something like that. Like, why does he have a credit card that has a blade in it?
If he's CIA, motherfucker.
Yeah, but he's not allowed to fight. It's against his religion. Like,
but that's what I mean. You say that, and then you immediately
does the opposite.
Not only do you say that, but you immediately cut throats.
Yeah.
Right?
That's not how you start. You don't like, start by breaking a leg.
That's like how you end. You don't...
Slash a few throats to start out, and then, you know, you can huck some guys around, huck them through windshields. I mean, okay, so I do have to admit, like, and this, again, this goes back to when I was a kid, I like watching Seagal fuck people up.
I think the action is awesome.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I mean, it is a bit silly when he gets into the real patty cake chops and stuff.
I find it hilarious.
It is hilarious. But I like watching him throw guys. I like watching him, like... you know, hit a guy in the throat or whatever and break an arm and twist a, you know, shit around. He does throw some kicks in this, which was kind of shocking. He barely ever does that.
Well, he bleeds a little bit.
Yeah, he even gets punched a few times in this movie, so that was kind of shocking.
Knowing what I, you know about Seagal, now when I see him in fight scenes, I look at the stunt people.
Yeah, yeah.
To see if they actually got injured. Like,
because he just fucks people up.
Because he just fucks people up.
Yeah.
And it really looks like he's just fucking people up.
And I don't know if Seagal did this, but Chad Stahelski was a stunt guy in this movie, you know, who did the John Wick movies.
Right.
And he did get a broken collarbone and had to leave the movie. I don't know how that happened. Maybe it was when he gets tossed through a restaurant partition or something like that. Who knows? But
yeah.
Yeah. But there is a good story about Seagal in this movie from Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Oh, okay.
He said, you know, that every day on set, they'd have to wait for like hours for Seagal to show up. He just would show up whenever he felt like it kind of thing. And one day they're waiting and then here he comes sauntering onto set. He comes over to Keenan Ivory Wayans and he says, "I just read the best screenplay I've ever read." And Keenan Ivory Wayans is like, "Oh shit, who wrote it?" He said, "I did."
Oh man,
classic Seagal.
That is classic. Like, the thing is like, what you see in the movie, he is like that in real life. He's just a piece of shit.
He's just an asshole. And then he goes to the, you know, the Italian restaurant where all the Goombas try to fuck him up, and he beats the shit out of them, and like, he's answering the phone and telling people to come on down because the guy's like saying, no, we can't take any reservations tonight.
We're
closed for private party. And Seagal like beats him up and takes the phone and's like, "Yeah, no, come on down, we'll accommodate you." Like, that's the best thing. And then he answers it again on the way out, "No, sorry, we're gonna be closed for renovations."
Well, he has to think about it. Two, three months.
Because I've just trashed this fucking place. I don't know. So let's talk about the plot a little bit, because it's fucking bizarre and doesn't make any sense.
Very bizarre.
So they're investigating the serial killings, the family man, who's doing the family man killings. Then on the way to check one of those out, you know, Seagal keeps being like, "Oh, let's stop and do this. Let's stop and do that. There's somebody, somebody's going to kill themselves. Let's go help out with that." They hear that they get this call about a possible suicide. And Seagal's like, "We better take that call." And Keenan Ivory Wayans is like, "I'm homicide. That's suicide. This is some dumb motherfucker wants to kill himself. Let him do it," or whatever.
Yeah. Once he hits the ground, then we take over.
Yeah. So he's like, "Oh, don't you think we should have compassion for people?" And stuff.
Everything's a fucking lesson.
It is. So they go to the scene. It's a high school. It's a potential high school shooting situation. There's a guy in a classroom. He's got a gun. His girlfriend has broken up with him, so he's upset or something. At least that's what they're told. They go in, he's waving the gun around at all the kids and stuff, and Seagal starts talking to him on the PA system, and then he just like comes in with his gun aimed at him, and he's trying to talk him down, but it's clear he's going to like shoot himself, so he dives and takes the kid out the window, across, like into another building through a window.
Yeah.
It looked amazing. You see a shot of the stunt guy that is not Seagal laying on the floor for a second after. This, you know, then the dad, or the stepdad, I guess, of this kid comes to thank him for his services afterwards. Seagal is immediately like, "Fuck this prick," for some reason.
Well, because the kid's like, "I can't go back to him."
Right.
Right. It doesn't really go into what.
Yeah, it's Bob Gunton from like Shawshank Redemption. He comes, he's the dad.
But Seagal fucking knows.
Yeah, he can smell a prick from a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
He takes one to no one. He's like, fuck you kind of thing to this guy. He's some rich, well-to-do guy. He sends his head of security.
Right.
What's his name? Like Donald or something? Let me just look this up here for a sec. Where is he? Donald Cunningham, played by John M. Jackson. He's all right. He's an all right, like, second baddie. Yeah. He sends him to, like, approach Seagal about what exactly? Like, he wants to bribe him in some way or, like, pay him? I can't remember what it is that he wants from him. And Seagal's like, I don't take fucking money from pricks like this guy. And he's like, yo, he could ruin your career.
What he wants is he wants Seagal to testify that he was insane.
Oh, that's right. He is insanity, and yeah. That's right. But he's like, go tell your fucking piece of shit boss to go fuck himself. Basically, like, his reaction seems like really overboard.
Yeah, really overboard.
And then, you know, right away we kind of start to learn that Bob Gunton is a bad guy who...
Who lives in a fucking castle, by
lives
the
in
way.
A weird castle thing. And, you know, this head of security guy is his, you know, whatever, doing shit for him. But, like, it doesn't make any sense. And you're like, well, what does this have to do with the other part of the movie? And then quickly they tie this together. And it turns out, like, the Family Man killings are just made to look like... Well, some of them are real serial killings.
Yeah.
But some of them he's, like, sending... assassin people to hit certain targets and then make it look like they're part of the Family Man killings. And, like, right away Seagal is like, you know, they're at the crime scene, he's like, something different about this, this isn't the same as those other ones. Like, he immediately knows. Well, that it's
the one with his ex-wife, it's just weird. That's a weird storyline.
Right, and there's, like, no reason for it.
Because it's completely unnecessary. You don't have to have it that it's his ex-wife. You could have just... But I guess they're trying to do that so then it...
it's personal.
Like, yeah, that's what
he
well, says. It makes...
He comes to tell his yeah, new wife.
Yeah.
He's like, they killed Jackie and whatever her name is, and her new husband. And she's like, what? Seriously? And he's like, you know, he's making it personal. He just says that as like a throwaway line.
I know.
Where his like his children's mother has been brutally murdered in what is ostensibly supposed to be a serial killing. He's like, you know, he's making it personal. Yeah.
Also, by the way, I don't find it believable at all that he like he's a good father.
Oh, right. Because we had the one scene where he goes out to talk to the kids, tell them that their mother is dead.
I imagine it went something like this. Listen, kids, your mother is dead. She was crucified.
She was hung on a wall. Not sure about any rape or anything. We haven't checked for semen yet. I'll let you know about that.
I'm pretty
as soon
sure
as I know, you're first to know.
I'm pretty sure I know who it is, and he's making it personal. Okay?
This was an attack on me, guys.
It's about me, motherfuckers.
So anyway, practice your Aikido, and if anyone comes for you, you better take them out. That's
on
you.
Why don't you spend time with me?
Yeah, we never see them again. There's no actual conversation. It's like a shot through the window while he's outside telling the kids.
Well,
and we don't see the wife again either.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine what the conversation would be? Like, I just don't believe it. I can't imagine. Anyways, I think
that's why they shot it like that.
I know.
Where you don't have to hear
the
what he says.
The fucking smartest thing they did.
The smartest decision they made.
I think they make it so it you know, it's his ex-wife because then they want to make it so that, like, the police department thinks that he's in on it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because they find his fingerprint, like, it's been planted on one of the bodies.
Like, that's such a weird thing. That made me think too much because I'm like, a fingerprint on the body? Like, is that, like, how does that work? Like...
Well, you could lift one and, yeah, you could, I guess, press it on there. But
yeah, but on a bot, on like a body, on the body, like on the skin?
I think you could potentially do it.
How does that work?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, let's dig into
it. I'm not a coroner like Steven Seagal. I don't know the specifics of it. But it would be funny, too. They're like, yeah, we found a handprint. It was on her tit. It's his handprint.
You know, he's one of these assholes, like my uncle, who, you know, he'll come and, you know, you're an expert in like a trade or something. And, you know, he'll say he's not an expert. Okay. You've been doing like electrical for 20 years and he'll come tell you how to do electrical. Yeah. Right. He's that kind of guy.
Right.
He tells the coroners he's a fucking idiot. Right.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like he just, all these cops, he doesn't give a fuck. He's not sharing information with them at all. Everyone has to just.
Right. He doesn't even tell the police like, oh, this was my ex. Like,
yeah.
Then when they find out, of course they're suspicious because he didn't tell anyone. But they're like, well, this guy's a ghost. We don't have a past on this guy. He came like out of nowhere. Keenan Ivory Wayans is getting suspicious of him. And then, you know, they have a scene where he kind of like, I had to tell them about it. I'm sorry, man. You left me no choice.
Internal affairs. Of course. And I love how Seagal's like, yeah, like so much for partners.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck you, man. You're what's wrong with cops.
He says so much for friendship or something like that. Like,
come
they're
on.
So tight. All he's done is given him shit the whole movie. And like make fun of him for crying and like
and he's chugging fucking dry dick the whole fucking movie.
And poor Keenan Ivory Wayans, he doesn't get a lot to do in this. Like, yeah, he's the joke guy, but the jokes are all bad. He has one hand to hand scene really, I guess.
Yeah, in
his apartment when they come to assassinate him. It was okay. The explosion where he had jumped out the window, that was kind of fun. And he lands in the car.
I mean,
car.
That was a killer apartment.
It was a nice apartment. But Seagal's like, you live in this fucking shithole? Like, he's just riding him, like, all the time. But he's a prick to everybody. Every interaction is him being a prick. And I think we're supposed to be like, yeah, fucking tell him, Steven. Like, his boss is like, you're going to have to be on suspension for a while, so give me your badge. And he's like, is that the one you pissed in the urinal? And he throws it in there. He's like, it's just like a dick. Like, this guy's not being an asshole. He's just following procedure. And you're like,
oh, man.
A total piece of shit to him.
He's such a piece of shit. I also found it interesting choice that they're in L.A., and it's nonstop raining all the time.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of. And I think they actually did shoot in LA. So I wonder if it just was raining and they're like, well, we don't have time to fucking wait for it to not rain.
There's even a shot where they have like a weatherman say, like, all that rain is gone. Now it's sunshine for the rest of the week.
And they're like, wow, it rained for the first time all fucking year in LA. But there's no mention of it.
Yeah.
Oh, and they probably just wanted it to be kind of moody for the movie or whatever. Rain detective stories, they go together hand in hand. So yeah, Keenan Ivory Wayans, he gets that one fight. It's all right. Did you like it? Like when he jumps out of his window?
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. I like that he jumps out the window.
It's a pretty big explosion.
Yeah, it's a pretty big explosion. He lands on that convertible, I guess. It's kind of funny that, I mean, of course, the box with the elk penis.
Yeah, that wasn't damaged in the
wasn't
fire.
Wasn't damaged at all.
The size of that explosion was like the whole floor like blew out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that scene on Die Hard when he dumps the C4 down the elevator shaft.
Yeah, I liked it. I honestly liked all the action scenes.
Yeah.
They're all pretty good.
They're pretty good. And the guy that he keeps fucking up in the restaurant and stuff. I mean, kind of fun. Again, it's like a guy that he's extra dickish to for no real reason. That's just his mode, right? Like,
yeah, the restaurant stuff is kind of weird because it's, okay, so there's a senator in there and then.
Right, having a meeting with Brian Cox.
What is Brian Cox like supposed to be? CIA?
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be a CIA guy. Does he call him colonel or captain or no? I don't know. But yeah, he was somebody high up in CIA because he's the one who discovered Seagal.
Yeah. And he says, oh, I wish you were working for us still.
Yeah.
Right. But I just find it odd that he's going to beat the shit out of a bunch of CIA agents.
Are they supposed to be CIA agents? I guess they are.
I'm pretty sure they're supposed to be.
He does take a couple hits in that and they like grab him for a minute and like somebody else gets some punches on him. I was like, oh shit, Seagal letting himself get hit in this movie?
Yeah.
That's crazy. He throws the guy into the espresso machine and all that stuff. And I don't know. It's some fun stuff there. And like the funny, oh yeah, when we go back to the scene where they fight the Russian guys in the park lot, the parking lot, and he pulls out the credit card. Did you get a look at those thugs that are standing around at all?
No.
For some reason, I like looked at them all, and there's one of them is just a woman with like overalls on, and he's just standing there looking mean. And I was like,
what?
She doesn't fit in with these Russian guys in suits. What is this person doing there? And sure enough, there's another shot, and she's just standing there too, looking like she's about to get in on the fight. I don't remember seeing them beat her up in the actual fight scene. And I was like, that's weird. Was it like they were going to have some woman killer side bad character too, and they cut that out? I don't know.
But there was just shortage of
people. Yeah, they couldn't find enough henchmen to stand around in that scene.
That's weird.
I thought it was funny. Not because she was a woman, but because she didn't look like she matched any of them at all. Like,
right.
It was just weird. Then there's a scene where they come to arrest Seagal. They're like, hey, we're the cops, blah, blah, blah. He goes with them. He sees the Russian tattoo.
Oh, that's the Russian tattoo thing is brutal. It's so '90s though.
They bring it up like 3-4 times.
It's so '90s where it's like such a huge obvious thing.
Yeah,
and they all have the same tattoo, and like it treats the audience like they're fucking morons.
Yeah, and right? Oh, we gotta show it. Oh, there it is. Oh shit! Like we didn't already know these were the fucking Russian guys picking him up.
Exactly.
But I do like that in that scene that he steals the gun from one of them, who tries to shoot him in the back seat, and then he just like pistol whips the guy over and over and over until his face is like a bloody mush. I was like, okay, that's pretty sweet. I don't know if I've ever seen someone get pistol whipped that many times in a movie. Eventually, of course, makes the car flip. He goes out the back window, and then it slides into a gas tanker.
Oh, man, the gas
tanker. Huge explosion.
I found that so funny, because as soon as he rolls out and it keeps sliding, as soon as it shows a gas tanker, I'm like, of course.
It's just sitting there.
This is so tropey. Yeah.
But at least, hey, thing blow up real good, man.
I guess.
They threw us some pretty big explosions for what feels like a kind of more, I don't know, pulled back for a Seagal movie. Like, clearly they didn't spend the kind of money on this that they did on, like, Under Siege. Or, you know, those Under Siege movies at all. But I feel like we've already peaked with Under Siege, and we're coming back down the slope of his career.
Right.
We had On Deadly Ground, which people were like, okay, what the fuck? Like, which we already talked about. He's kind of already going back down the hill at this point. And I think from what I was reading, there was, like I said, there were scenes that were cut from the movie because they wanted a 90-minute fast-paced thing. I think it was like 2 hours before. So you'd have way more stuff with the cops between them.
I mean, maybe it would have been better.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the plot would have made a little more sense. It's so ridiculous.
Maybe.
So we forgot. They find the family man, right? They find out who does this art.
Well, Seagal does.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Keenan Ivory Wayans figures out where he is. Or sorry, he finds out who he is, but then Seagal figures out where he is, which is he's at this Catholic church. And they all go to the house to find him, and Seagal goes by himself to the church. He's got a priest as a
hostage.
Hostage, yeah. And he's got the gun to his head, and he's playing it as a total kook or whatever.
I find it funny after, okay, that the captain says, yeah, we talked to the priest. The priest said he was calm.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you fucking serious, priest?
I mean, he didn't yell, I guess.
Does he wasn't calm.
He wasn't calm. He was, like, psychotic.
What the fuck?
He's, like, crying and, you know, he's clearly on the edge of a complete breakdown.
Yeah.
The priest doesn't say, like, oh, he had a gun to my head. And, like, he was clearly an insane fucking person. But we need Seagal to be in trouble, right?
Right, right.
So, and this is the scene where, so I guess what happened on set was Seagal didn't want to kill the family man, Stephen Tobolowsky's character. He wanted to be like, no, my character's like, he's a peaceful man, and like,
oh,
he doesn't murder people.
Yeah.
And so even Stephen Tobolowsky had to convince him and be like, no, but this character, he will be more at peace if he's dead, because he's so you know, messed up in his mind.
Yeah.
That he wants to be dead. So, and then he finally convinced Seagal, like, okay, you got to shoot me to kill me in the scene.
I think what the story is halfway through filming this movie, he all of a sudden...
He changed his mind.
He changed his mind about, like, he doesn't believe in violence and killing people.
Right.
And so this scene came up where he's supposed to kill him, and he's like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to kill anyone in my films anymore.
I didn't think he was going to be making action films. But anyway, so Tobolowsky convinces him, you know, no, you got to kill me. And then after they do that, Stephen Tobolowsky apparently gets a phone call like a couple weeks down the road. And it's like, hey, we need you to come back in and do some more voice work stuff because Stephen has changed his mind and he doesn't want you to be dead in the movie.
Oh, man.
So I guess there was another, they shot another scene with him later or something, but they didn't end up, it didn't end up in the movie. But Seagal was like, no, I didn't kill him after all. Bring him back.
Why didn't they just, I honestly thought he was just going to shoot himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would have been easy, right?
But, right.
Would have been an easy way out. But of course, I'm sure the producers wanted to be like, no, he killed, they need him to kill him so that the cops can be like, oh, another case of this, eh? Where you go in alone and the guy ends up dead. Because that was like had been in trouble in his career earlier for something similar.
Oh, yeah, right, in New York. I honestly felt like this was one of those movies where Seagal was going to shoot a gun out of somebody's hand. Like, right. That's the kind of movie it is. Yeah. So
why not?
I don't know. This would have been a good opportunity. He goes to, like, shoot himself. He shoots the gun out of his hand.
With his weird pistol grips, the way he holds guns and stuff.
Yeah.
Love him, the way he clears a room in this movie, his weird movements. I mean, you got to say he's distinct in the way that he does all that shit. He's got his own Seagal way of doing those things.
Honestly, like I said before, like all the fight scenes, him slapping and doing his keto, like, I love it.
Yeah. I loved watching him toss a guy fucking through a table or through a wall or whatever.
That's like, he's such a piece of shit and he has to, like, not just beat up somebody, like basically murder them. Right. And what he does, it just makes the action that much better.
It's true. It's more, it's just like a little bit more hard hitting than some of his contemporaries were doing. Right. Like compared to, say, a Chuck Norris or something like that.
Right.
He's a lot more violent in what he does to people, which is funny because he's always being like, I'm this man of peace. I'm a Buddhist.
That's the contrast.
The contrast, yeah. That's the interesting conflict at play here. So I'm trying to figure out how they even figure out how these things are all connected. Well, family man tells him, like, oh, I killed who I was told to kill. And so he was given orders, I guess, or something.
No.
No, or he just, Jesus was telling him to do it.
Yeah, Jesus was telling him to kill those people. And then Seagal questions him more, and then he says, well, I didn't kill those other ones.
Right.
Okay, somebody else was called to kill them.
Yeah, so he knows, okay, yeah, those were different. Those are hitter. Somebody professional did those.
Yeah, so then when Seagal gets suspended, he ends up going to the family man, the serial killer's house, and then he interacts the other guy.
Yeah.
Donald
Cunningham.
And then he finds...
He finds some slip of paper that says something.
Well, maybe he was killing...
Yeah, I thought he was getting orders. It's very confusing. He figures out that... Oh, what a coincidence. Bob Gunton's character is connected to these family man killings. They just so happened to save his son from killing himself, and it's all connected. And so there's some sort of deal going on where Brian Cox is using his CIA connections to get Russian weapons, I don't know, from the black market to sell. He's like a middleman, so they'll sell them to Bob Gunton. And then the movie's kind of very confused about who it wants to be the bad guy, because, or like the main bad guy, because we get the scene where Keenan Ivory Wayans and Seagal grab Brian Cox and they're like interrogating him in, you know, some alley somewhere, or under an overpass or something. And they shoot him in the foot and they shoot him in the hand to get him to talk. And he's like, okay, well, it was, yeah, it was all Bob Gunton, blah, blah. And they just leave him. He's gone. Like, okay, he's out of the movie now. They're like, see you later. But earlier, we have a scene in a pool where Brian Cox is talking to Bob Gunton, and he's like, well, there's four people who are loose ends in this case. You know, the two cops, you and your son. So three of those people can live. You decide which ones. So he's saying, like, you've got to kill your own son kind of thing.
Is it his son or he? It's Donald Cunningham, he says. Like, you have to kill Donald Cunningham.
Well, that's afterwards. First, he tells him that he's got to take out his own son, which his son is at some mental hospital, and they go to, they go to rescue him.
Right.
Some people come to try to kill him. They have, you know, a little shootout scene there.
Yeah.
But so in that situation in the pool, it seems like, oh, Brian Cox is the top of this chain. He's the one, he's threatening Gunton.
Yeah.
He's like the most evil of the guys.
Yeah, exactly.
But then later the script is like, okay, yeah, they got the information they wanted from him. Now they're going to go take on the Bob Gunton. And
also that,
then it switches again because Cunningham, they let it slip to him like, oh yeah, your boss is willing to give you up in order for us to make this deal. So then he turns on his boss and kills Bob Gunton, and now he's the main bad guy that they're dealing with. It's just like switch, switch, switch.
Also, by the way, that pool scene, for whatever reason, I thought like they were gonna fuck or something. Like
that would've been great.
It was very weird. Like all of a sudden he was gonna be like, now we're finally alone, and like once this deal goes through, we can be together.
Where's your son? He's not here, right?
Like, I don't know, but anyways,
I mean, I'm just trying to get at, like, the script doesn't even know what it wants to do.
No, it doesn't.
Just keeps like turning, and it's not like it's their twists, it's just like, oh, we're doing this now, and it's like, oh, okay, but we did that other thing earlier. Ah, fuck it. Like,
do you like the on. Do you like the Looney Tunes thing where Seagal goes rappels down the building
oh, yeah.
and then locks the door and then is behind the newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Like
he's sitting there at the bottom when Cunningham tries to escape. And he's like, oh, what's up, Doc? yeah. I mean, also that rappelling scene was hilarious. Not quite as good as the Under Siege 2.
Oh man, on cliff, the cliff?
Cliff climb.
Fuck yeah.
But pretty good. Wanted to have its diehard moment there where they fall through the window or whatever. Yeah. So then he has his final fight with Cunningham, and it's not too bad. That's where you get the, that's all you got? That's all you got?
Yeah.
But I do like his death when he throws him with like the...
I really like that.
Yeah.
It's
like the wrought iron fence through the bottom of his mouth.
Yeah, I like that. You also get... the where I thought he was gonna like deliver something like from On Deadly Ground where he fights that guy in the bar, what's in it, the essence of a man,
oh man,
right? But he says like, when you wake up and look in the mirror, like what do you think or something. Then it's like, are you happy?
He's like, yeah, he's like, and he says, I woke up happy this morning and I'm gonna go to sleep happy because you're gonna be dead.
Okay, cool.
Cool, cool lines, guys.
Cool.
You got some good ones.
Yeah. Here. I don't think he's going to be waking up happy.
That's what he says, right? After he kills him?
After he kills him.
Don't think you're going to be waking up happy. Take that. yeah, it's just a weird, confused movie. I think it's kind of fun. It's like, it's super shitty, but like, it's kind of fun to watch just because like the script is so bad and goes in such weird directions, and like they say some crazy shit to each other in this movie that is like, really? Somebody fucking wrote this? Probably there was a better script, and while they were shooting, Seagal's like, no, I'm gonna say this instead. Or something like that. Cause it's
Keenan Ivory Wayne's though, like I just don't understand, like he wasn't able to make the script better in any way.
I mean, who knows what happened there? Maybe he didn't even try. I mean, or maybe he did, and Seagal's like, no, no, stick to your lines or something. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, what do you use those beads for? I use them to like clear my mind. I use Jack Daniels.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's like, oh, we're both trying to get to the same place. We're just doing it in a different way.
Wow. Like
profound.
This is fucking deep shit.
He's always got some deep shit lines he throws in there.
Fuck.
Fuck, is it? That's it. You know, like Brian Cox, they don't even like arrest him or anything. Like he's like, I need a, you know, help me. He shot me in the foot, and he's like, you can hobble to a hospital.
Yeah, your other foot works.
Yeah. And that's it. We don't see him again. He's not like somebody they needed to take out ultimately, which is so weird the way that the movie plays out. But yeah, and then Bob Gunton, of course, like I said, just shot down by his henchmen, which is fine, I guess, but it's just kind of weird because the movie never settles on who it wants to be the bad guy. We've got a serial killer that gets killed earlier. We've got Brian Cox, arms dealer, CIA guy. We've got, and you know, and it really does seem for a while, like when he has that meeting with him in the restaurant, like it seems like he's the main bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not. He's just another cog in the shitty wheel.
I think what we're supposed to learn from this is everyone is the bad guy.
Everybody, except for Seagal.
Seagal.
I mean, he should fight Keenan Ivory Wayans at the end of the
movie. I mean, even at the end, you know, he's like in the ambulance.
Yeah, Keenan like, Everyone's got injured.
He's like, stay away from me. I don't want to see you. I don't want to be around you.
Ever since I met you, everything's gone wrong in my life.
And then Seagal's just sitting there, you know, how he has his hands crossed like on his belly.
He's peaceful, yeah, his Buddha belly.
And he's just like,
Yeah, that's it. That's the way the movie ends.
As the ambulance takes off, you just
bye.
See ya.
But I mean, that was such good banter that for sure they thought there'd be a sequel, James. I mean, you know, this is a whole Lethal Weapon situation we got on our hands here with Glimmer. There could have been Glimmer Man 2, 3, 4.
I mean, there would have been a sequel if I was making it.
Definitely.
100%.
He should have at least done one once he just started into his, you know, his straight to DVD and like straight to video career. Wasn't that much longer before he started doing that stuff. Like right. He had, like we said, he had Fire Down Below.
Yeah.
He kind of came back with Exit Wounds and Half Past Dead.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, all straight to video shit, after that. So, I mean, I've seen a couple of his straight to video movies and they're, the ones I've seen are fucking terrible. I want to see the one where he's like in a chair.
In a chair? Yeah, I do want to see that one. Rolling around. I do want to see that one. Yeah, so so after this, Fire Down Below, My Giant, I guess he plays himself. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Patriot, Exit Wounds, Ticker.
Yeah, I think that's a straight to video.
Half Past Dead.
Yeah.
The Foreigner.
I've seen The Foreigner. Actually, I kind of remember that one being all right.
Out for a Kill?
Yeah, I saw the first two or three of these when he started doing the video ones.
Yeah, Belly of the Beast.
Yeah, Submerged or something like that.
Clementine, Out of Reach, Into the Sun. I mean, whoever's coming up with these titles, are like, it's awesome.
There's a lot of out for a somethings.
Yeah, Urban Justice.
Out for a Pizza.
Pistol Whipped.
Pistol, is that one of his movies?
Yeah.
He's like, okay, so I did this movie called Glimmer Man where I pistol whipped this guy like 45 times. Let's do a movie just where I pistol whip people.
Shadow Man. There's a Shadow Man. Against the Dark, Driven to Kill.
I'll have to do
Keeper.
Some research and find out like either which one is the best or which one is the shittiest and maybe do one of those down the road at some point. I know there's that one where he did with Stone Cold Steve Austin and it's like, I mean, I feel like I have to see that.
Yeah. What is this? This is a, there's a TV show. Oh, True Justice. Is that the,
is that where he's a cop and
where he's the, yeah, sheriff or whatever?
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, these are all,
but this is not that long before the end, which is funny. Cause you know, back when it came out and I rented it, it was just business as usual. I was like, okay, another Seagal movie on the shelves and,
yeah,
she's got Keenan Ivory Wayans, and okay, didn't like to me. It didn't strike me that, you know, his Hollywood career was almost over at that point, and he was going into the, you know, the B market not too long afterwards. But
okay, so this is like apparently in pre-production, Above the Law 2.
Oh shit.
Starring Steven Seagal, written by Steven Seagal.
Directed by, produced by, music by.
Music by, oh man.
Hey, Don't knock his music. That's
what's that? He's got some like pussy juice or something.
The Poo-Tang song or whatever.
The Poo-Tang. Oh man.
The pussy juice.
I don't know. Whatever the fuck.
Jesus. Well, let's rate this film, this fine film, and see where it ends up on our list. Imagine it'll be in the top five.
All right, so I got for plot, I got one. Action kills, five. Pacing, three. Quotes, tropes, two. Personal reaction, two. So overall, 2.6.
I was friendlier. I got plot one. I got action, six. I'm a sucker for that Seagal action. Pacing, four. Quotes and tropes, two. And my overall action is a four. It's a really shitty movie, but like I kind of had some fun watching it.
I think you could have some fun watching it if you watched it like over and over again.
Right. I mean, just the coroner scene alone is so amazing.
Yeah.
Shit. So that's what is it overall? A three.
A three. Three overall.
Beautiful.
Which means...
3 out of 10.
We have... a tie at 232 with Skyscraper.
Oh, the Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
Classic.
This is one. So it's one behind Maximum Overdrive and one ahead of Batman and Robin.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's a toss up.
I'm going to put this ahead of Skyscraper because I would watch this.
Yeah, that's true.
And the action's better.
That is true. Skyscraper is amazing in its absolute ridiculous shittiness. But yeah, this is a better movie, as weird as that is to say that Glimmer Man is better than something. It's a more professionally made film. I mean, it just is. Which
yeah,
kind of crazy.
All right, so it's new number 232.
Wow, we were pretty hard on Maximum Overdrive. I mean, that's not, you know, it has some issues, but that's a pretty fun movie.
Yeah, but is it like action wise?
Yeah, you know, I mean, lower. I guess it isn't like a balls to the wall action film. It's
also, you know, I think John was on that one.
Yeah, but don't you remember that woman who screams, "You're supposed to." You're supposed to listen to us when she's mad at the machines and right. She screams at them and they
shoot
her with their machine guns.
I mean, Hard Ticket to Hawaii is ahead of Maximum Overdrive.
I mean, so entertaining.
So entertaining.
John, I hated that. I was like, can't you just have some fun with this?
There's so much joy in that movie.
Oh, man. The Frisbee with the razor blades.
Oh yeah,
the bazooka. I mean,
what is
the snake?
What did she say? Nice ass, pilgrim.
Gotta watch that movie again.
Yeah, so good.
All right, well, there it is, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Check us out on Patreon, Action Action Podcast. There you can get our first 200 episodes are on there for only a few bucks. There's also different tiers where you can make us watch something you want to hear us review. And there's some merch on there, so check it out. Check out the BFOP Network. We're also on Instagram, Action Action. You can bullshit with me on there. And yeah, thanks for listening. We'll catch you soon.